Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. You know, in Genesis 1, verse 3, it says that, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Well, before that, in Genesis 1, verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So, when the disaster happened, when the war happened that caused the earth to be void in darkness, void and desolate, darkness on the deep, the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. And He's never stopped moving over the earth. He's ready to keep covenant with those that have ears to hear. Now, we have to meet God with faith. We have to decide of our own free will to do things His way. Now, yesterday's broadcast, the Lord called it approval orders. God has given mankind approval orders. And I go back and look at verse 26 through 28, Genesis chapter 1. Verse 26 reads, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. Now watch verse 28. I love verse 28. It's so rich. And God blessed them. Now the them is Adam and Eve and all of mankind is who God is talking to. God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl and of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. So, with that's in place, the Lord made us, and we're a representation of not only God but the situation of God. What's the situation of God? God made a kingdom, and because we know of a rogue angel called Satan and those that followed him, a war happened in heaven. A war in heaven. Now Revelation talks about this war that happened in heaven. It happened a long time before God made man. And God knew, nothing sneaks up on God, because God said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. So God subdued it also. He subdued the earth. He wants, and then He has dominion over the realms of heaven, just like we have the dominion over the fish of the sea, which is huge, and the fowl of the air, which is huge, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. See, Adam's realm is the earth, and it's a representation. As big as the earth is compared to Adam, Adam is the captain here. And the Lord said, He blessed them. And God said to them. So all of mankind is included in that them, in the phrase, God blessed them. So what God gave us to do, we must do. And we can do it. And what did man do with what God gave him? At first he started doing well. God planted a garden eastward in Eden, put the man there, and he began to do his job. Until he was interrupted. Now, Genesis chapter 3, it begins this way, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. That's what Eve said. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Well, he's lying. But she didn't know this. She was deceived by those words. Verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now watch what happens. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now this, they entered into an alternative. This is not what God wanted them to do. This is clearly not what God wanted them to do. See, they were clothed from by the glory of God. They didn't need clothes. If you would have saw Adam and Eve on the earth, they would have outshined the sun. The glory of God was upon them. And you wouldn't have seen their naked bodies. And they were naked. But they were clothed with the glory of God. They were invincible. There was no sin in them, so they couldn't die. Nothing on the earth could hurt them. They could lay on the ground anywhere and it would be fine. They were in perfection. And they were set up to do precisely what God gave them to do in the first place. To be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. But now, when this act of disobedience and treachery against God, they lost their authority. See, verse 7, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. See, they lost the authority. They lost their approval orders. They lost the ability to please God. They lost the ability. They damaged their likeness of God because now they're out of covenant. They're in league with Satan. And they were naked. They were without covenant. Just like the lukewarm church. The lukewarm church is the opposite of what God said in Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, he said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. Well, the lukewarm church is wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Each one of those phrases is the opposite of what God said do. To be wretched is the opposite of being fruitful. To be miserable is the opposite of multiplying. So they're wretched and miserable. They're poor. They can't replenish because they're poor. They can't give. And they won't. They're wretched, miserable, poor. They're blind. They can't see their state. They can't subdue if you can't see what's going on. Their spiritual, their ability to evaluate situations is terribly diminished, the lukewarm church. Wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and then they're naked. They're without covenant. They don't have agreement with God. They will not agree with God. And at the same time, they assess themselves to be wealthy. Because they have possessions, but they don't have spiritual wealth. They're poor. And so this started here. Adam and Eve was the first people to enter into such a terrible condition. Instead of using the approval orders of God, they committed high treason against God by eating off the tree anyway. When they crossed the line. And when they crossed the line and ate off the tree and gobbled up the fruit, the eyes of them both were open. And they knew that they were naked. They were in disobedience. And so they sewed fig leaves together. And if you know anything about fig leaves, they kind of itchy. They're not the best thing. They're big, but anyway, they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons to hide their private parts. Because now the glory of God is gone. And when the glory of God is gone, you see shadows where you used to didn't see shadows. See, the whole earth was full of the glory. And now the captain of the earth decided to commit high treason. Now the glory of God is gone. So now all you have is sunlight and moonlight when you can get it. They don't have the glory of God all in full swing. Now, so they were probably shocked at what happened. Now watch what happens then. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God amongst the trees of the garden. And God called unto Adam with his, God is so loving. God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Now, you know God knows where he is. But he asked anyway, where art thou? He's full of love. He don't condemn us. He wants to help us. Now, when people stay in disobedience, the judgment hammer will fall. But verse 10 says, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you you were naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, thou hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. See, that didn't happen before. There were no thorns and there were no thistles to be brought forth. But thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. Thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. You know, I just said that there were no thorns and thistles, but I really don't have evidence for that. I always thought there was no thorns and thistles, because everything that God make is good. If everything he make is good, thorns and thistles are not pleasant. So that's why I say that, but I can't be 100%. Verse 20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. See, it's going to take blood to cover our sins. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life, and eat there and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Otherwise, the man would be in a miserable state that can't die and always have sin in him. So God loves us. He thinks of everything when men do not. So Adam left his first state, and now he's in a fallen state. And God said, the day you eat, you should surely die. Well, Adam lives to be 930 years. A day to God, a covenant day of God is 1,000 years. So he didn't make a day with God. He made 930 years. No man has ever from Adam's loins have ever lived over 1,000 years on the earth. Enoch was taken and Elijah was taken, but if God didn't take them, they would have died. So they didn't live 1,000 a day on earth, but we will, because of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to Jesus, we will live eternally with our Lord and Savior. Now, when people reject their approval orders, when their commandments from God to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, they do other things. So when people do, the Lord told me as I did this broadcast, he said, I've got another problem. In Jeremiah chapter 8, God pleaded with man and worked with man up until this point, until something happened. And he still worked with man beyond that until Jesus came. And now, thanks be to Jesus, we're going to live forever. We're in good standings with God. We hear the word, and we can do the word. We can go forward for a change. And we can do all this in God's heart if we want to. All we have to do, he put us back in right standards with God. So Jeremiah chapter 8 says, "At that time, saith the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah, and the bones of the princes, and the bones of the priests, and the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of their graves. And they shall spread them before the sun and before the moon, and all the host of heaven, whom they have loved, and whom they have served, and after whom they have walked, and whom they have sought, and whom they have worshipped. They shall not be gathered, nor be buried. They shall be for dung upon the face of the earth, and death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family, which remain in all the places where I have driven them, saith the Lord of hosts." Now, this is a problem because all the kings of Israel and Judah that didn't walk according to the word of God, they did the wrong thing. They made the wrong choice. They were buried as people of God. They were dug up and put upon the face of the earth before the host of heaven that they worship. Continuing, the Lord has a plan. See, when they had to, let's look at verse 1 again. All right. "At that time, saith the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah, the bones of the princes, the bones of the priests, and the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Judah out of their graves." Now they brought them forth out of their graves. "And they shall spread them before the sun and the moon and all the host of heaven whom they loved and whom they served, after whom they walked and after whom they sought and whom they have worshipped. They shall not be gathered nor buried. They shall be for dung upon the face of the earth." Now, God didn't tell man to worship the sun or the moon or the host of heaven or to look to them for guidance. And see, they serve these things, but those things are not God. None of what I listed is God. Man is supposed to follow God. He gets his approval orders from God, not the sun, the moon, and the host of heaven. And then live by mythology. Okay, verse 3. He said, "And death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family, which remain in all the places where I have driven them, saith the Lord of hosts." Now see, because they did these things, their descendants are doomed. Or they left great hurdles in the path of their descendants. Because they worship the sun and the moon, because they love the sun worship, moon worship, whom they served, after whom they walked, and whom they sought, and whom they have worshipped, they shall be gathered and burned, they shall be for dung on the face of the earth. Now watch this. Their children are like their parents. And their grandchildren are like their parents. And their next descendant is like their parents. Now watch this. Of the own free will of all of their descendants, death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family, which puts a negative pattern in the course of their descendants, which remain of the... All right. Verse 3 again, "And death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family, which remain in all the places where I have driven them, saith the Lord of hosts." See, the protocols of God are very important. There is balance. And they put negative things in play, and it's harder for their children to see the light and to see and appreciate the love of God, the life of God. Everybody on earth don't love the love of God, and everybody on earth don't appreciate the life of God. Only the people that desire it. And see, when people put, society puts negative pressure on people. Satan tries to drive people to darkness, to belittlement, to negativity, away from the protocols of God, which is to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over it. But you see, the Laodicean church, they are the opposite. They are tares. They are the opposite of God's will. That's the negative pressure of the world that they surrender to. So when people do these things, God made a statement. He had Josiah to dig them up over the earth. Now let's look at verse 4. Moreover, thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, shall they fall and not arise? Shall he turn away and not return? Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit, they refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. Now God was listening to see if anybody would just repent. He said, God is speaking to her in verse 6. He said, I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course as the horse rushes into the battle. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming, but my people know not the judgment of the Lord. And that's a tragedy. How do ye say, we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken low. Look, they have rejected the word of the Lord. And what wisdom is in them? And so it is when people reject the way of the Lord. What wisdom is in them? Therefore will I give their wives to others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For everyone from the least even unto the greatest is given a covetousness. From the prophet even unto the priest, everyone deals falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. In the time of their visitation they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. I will surely consume them, saith the Lord. There shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade, and the things that I have given them shall pass away from them. It's not like God didn't want it to turn out this way, because he was looking to see if somebody would repent. Okay, verse 14. Why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves, and let us enter into the defense cities, and let us be silent there. For the Lord our God has put us to silence, and given us water of gall to drink, because we have sinned against the Lord. We look for peace, but no good came. And for a time of health, and behold, trouble. You know, then the enemy comes. The snorting of his horses was heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the neighing of his strong ones. For they are come and have devoured the land and all that is in it, the city and those that dwell therein. For behold, I will send serpents and cockatrices among you, which will not be charmed, and they shall bite you, saith the Lord. And I will comfort myself against sorrow. My heart is fainting me. Behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people because of them that dwell in a far country. See, they were scattered from their country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not that her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with their strange vanities? See, when they had the land, all they had to do was seek the Lord. And the Lord would have blessed them. He would have been glad to bless them. But they sought out the vanities. They did the opposite of being fruitful and multiplying, replenishing the earth, being a blessing to each other, subduing it, and having dominion that they should have had. Verse 20. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved. They don't have a harvest. They don't have anything. For the hurt, verse 21. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment has taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? If they would have repented, God could have restored them. Now let's go back and look at the history of this unearthing bones of the kings of Judah. Because everything has a beginning. This was prophesied back in 1 Kings chapter 13. The Lord has a protocol. He wants people to be known. If they're his people, he wants people to know. If they're not his people, he's going to expose the facts for what they are. Now, back in the days of Jeroboam, First Kings 13, verse 1. A man of God was sent. Verse 1 says, "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and the men's bones shall be burnt upon thee." Now this is what let's take a closer look at this. Verse 1. "Behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. Now Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense." Okay, and then the man of God cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, "O altar." Now Jeroboam's standing there listening, you know, he's there listening. The prophet's talking. He cried and he spoke to the altar. He cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, "O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out." The altar shall be rent, broken in two. Verse 4. And it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, "Lay hold on him." And his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up so that he could not pull it in again to himself. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Verse 6, "And the king answered and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. And the king said to the man of God, Come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, If thou would give me half thine house, I will not go with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now, there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel. And his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. And the words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, What way went he? For his son had seen which way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, Saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak, and said to him, Art thou the man of God that came from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, Come home with me, and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go with thee, neither will I eat bread, nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, Thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou came. 18, verse 18. He said unto him, I am I am a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him and did eat in his house and drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, For as much as thou disobeyest the mouth of God of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in this place, out of the which the Lord did say to thee, Eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulture of thy fathers. And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread, and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass and whip, the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it, and the lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass, and they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And the prophet that brought him back from the way had heard thereof. He said, It is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord has delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. And he spake to his son, saying, Saddle me the ass. And they saddled him. And he went and found the carcass cast in the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. The lion had not eaten the carcass.